Right now, time for the opinion page. Mary Callahan is a registered nurse who fostered children for 15 years. She doesn't do it anymore, not because she grew tired of it or felt that she had done enough. She stopped because of principle. Mary believes that foster parents are receiving too much money and that this has created a foster care system that is broken. Are you a foster parent? Do you think that it's okay to be paid for fostering children? Let us know. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255, and the email address is talk@npr.org. You can also comment on our blog. It's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Mary Callahan is with us from a studio at member station WMEA in Portland, Maine. She wrote an op-ed in the Los Angeles Times called Mercenary Motherhood. Mary, thanks so much for joining us.
And thanks for having me, Lynn.
Now, as I mentioned, you were a foster parent for many years. You accepted money for it. What made you start to think that that's a bad idea?
Well, you know, it was a gradual process of realizing that the system was broken. But the last part of it that I accepted was that money was part of it. I was enjoying the money. I was taking difficult kids and getting as much as $5,000 a month tax-free for two kids. And what a lot of people don't realize is that even the lower level of pay with the kids that are supposedly easier kids, it's tax-free. There's extra money for clothes that comes three times a year. Recreation is paid separately. There, you can have your phone bill and mileage paid. So it isn't as little money as they sometimes make it sound. But at a certain point, I realized money was really a huge part of it, and that even I had kind of followed the dollar signs.
I have to back up one second, because
sure.
That figure you gave us, $5,000 a month, I was a little surprised to hear for two kids.
I thought that
it was like most foster care systems gave like less than $1,000 a month.
Well, you know, just using Maine as an example, back when I was doing it, the lower level of pay was around $500 to $700 a month. But 70% of the kids were considered treatment or therapeutic level, which is the high. It jumps up to like five times the lower level of pay.
Oh, I see.
And and most people don't realize that. And there are a lot of people out there actually making a pretty good living, as I was. I was, you know, barely working as a nurse making that kind of money. But then you start making decisions, you know, when you think about, well, if this child goes back to his mother, I lose half my pay. Mm. And then they ask you, well, how did this child's visit with his mother go? Did you have any concerns? And you're likely to go to the road of, well, I did have some concerns. Mm. And the person who asked the question is also going to, you know, their agency loses money if the child goes back home or gets
adopted. Did you actually find yourself doing that? I mean, did you find
yourself? In retrospect, I realized that I was not encouraging things to happen with birth family, because I did sort of panic at the thought of losing that much money. Even adoption, which, you know, when it was brought up, the first thing I would think is, how am I going to afford to lose the money, you know?
Yeah.
And then in retrospect, when I first started and got less money and it was more about doing a good thing, I was making different decisions.
Yeah.
And I think everybody was making different decisions.
You also write about the fact that one young child who you were a foster parent to, I guess figured out that you were making some money or asked you about the money, and that was one of the things that sort of triggered
your
thinking.
Oh, that was such a that was a really tough moment when he was visiting his mother and came back and started to realize his mother was working two jobs and very poor. And I was, you know, doing a few per diem shifts now and then, and we had two cars and took a lot of vacations. And he asked me, did you inherit money? Well, by this time, he was old enough that the thought that I was actually getting paid for him was going to be kind of painful because, you know, it makes him question the sincerity of everything I've ever said to him, especially when it's clear that I'm making good money doing it. It was really a tough moment. And actually, one of my kids, I've adopted the last two kids, and when I told her I was going to be on this show and what it was about, she said, well, tell them how you feel when you find out they're making money on you is about an inch tall.
Hmm. Yeah.
So it really does affect their self-esteem to find out somebody had to be paid.
Yeah. And was that incident with that child, was that really when you started the soul searching, would you say?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And realizing that I couldn't, you know, I was speaking out about the fact that so many of the kids in my home's lives had gotten worse when they got in the system, not better, and that what the parents had lost the kids for was far less than I ever expected it would be. And, you know, so I was speaking out publicly anyway, but that was the one area I didn't want to go to. And when I had that conversation with Michael, I realized that it really was part of it. And just to add, you know, I tried to adopt Michael for 3 years before it finally happened, and there was delay after delay after delay, and finally the head of the foster care agency, of one of the foster care agencies, said to me, we need 60 kids to make payroll, and if we only have 61, we're not talking adoption or reunification until we get more kids. So I wasn't the only one following the dollar signs. Everybody involved in saying whether this child should be reunified or not has a financial stake in it. It's pretty hard to ignore a financial stake.
We are talking about foster parenthood with Mary Callahan, who wrote an op-ed in the Los Angeles Times called Mercenary Motherhood, arguing against paying for people to be foster parents.
Arguing against paying too well for it.
Or you paying know, too think, well for it. Yeah, yes, that's yeah. right.
There's got to be an element of commitment and seeing this as a calling, and that overshadows the money. And the money starts overshadowing that pretty quickly.
I just wanted to tell people if they want to join this discussion, the number is 800-989-8255. And we are going to take a call now from Eric. And Eric is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hello, Eric. Go ahead.
Hi. My brother and sister-in-law live in Madison, Wisconsin, and they now have their second foster child. They didn't accept any compensation even for food, clothing, necessities. Basically, they had room in their heart, room in their mind, room in their house, and more than the minimum requirements for their own existence, that they reached out to some children who needed love and a stable environment, to the point where when those children were ultimately placed back, the first one, with her mother, they continued to support that child through offering to pay school costs and other expenses and medical expenses that they feared the mother the child was reunited with would not provide or could not provide. I think that if people have room in their homes but don't have enough funds for basic necessities for the child, perhaps they could accept some small amount to offset costs of food and clothing. But I think the number one reason for entering into foster parenting has got to be a never-ending supply of love and a huge heart and not money.
All right, Eric, well, thanks so much for your call.
More.
I was going to say
that
it sounds very much like very much like what Mary has said. But, you know, buried in there is a question I have, which is there are some people who might want to be foster parents who don't have a lot of money, who really could not afford to do it unless they were paid.
Right, which is why they should get something. I mean, and even if you're middle class and you have your own children and you realize paying the foster kids' expenses is taking something out of your own kids' pockets, then you might make a decision not to. Some compensation makes sense to me, but not to be willing to do it unless every dime, every movie ticket, every, you know, every phone call is paid back doesn't show me there's much commitment there.
And is that the way it works? Do you turn in receipts for everything? I mean,
you can. Mm-hmm. You absolutely can turn in mileage every mile you've driven and that sort of thing. And it can add up even at the lower level.
Yeah.
You know, there are definitely people out there, wonderful people like he just described, but there's also a lot of people who, you know, I went to a foster parent training once that I was a part of and ran into a coworker of mine, and I was surprised to see they were interested in foster parenting. And when I asked why, they said, moolah. You know, people start to realize that there's money in it, and it's not the same job when it's about the money.
Let's see if we can get a call now from Carol, calling from Tewksbury, Massachusetts. Hi, Carol.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I think it's extremely important for everyone listening to understand that your guest's point may be very relevant for the situation she was in, but I've worked for 10 years in Massachusetts, working directly with supervising foster parents, with the specialized foster parents. It sounds like she was saying she was working with very difficult kids. They did not get mileage. They did not get movie tickets. They did not get after-school programs. They got $50 a day to deal with children that could hurt them, hurt their pets, hurt their children, ruin their car. None of that got reimbursed. And they did do it, for the most part, out of feeling like they had a call to do it and they wanted to nurture these children. It certainly, at least in this state, isn't a moneymaker. I've worked extensively in child welfare in Missouri. It's not a moneymaker there. The average foster parent in Massachusetts is getting $15 a day, and between $100 and $300 four times a year for clothing. And that's it. There's no mileage. I understand her point. If she feels like, and God love her, if she feels like this was so easy for her to do that she was being overpaid for it, then she's a wonderful person with a big heart, and that's great. But, and there should be more like her. And like the other caller said, too, it's wonderful that there's that one in a million family that has the extra money and the extra love to spare. But we have a bazillion kids out there waiting to live in a normal home instead of an institution. If all we're going to look for is people who have endless money and, you know, really, you know, just the thing they most want to do and they have the most energy in the world to take care of these kids, we're going to be down to very few foster homes. We've got to work with reality.
Totally see the point you're making. I also wonder, though, if you can address the point that Mary Callahan raised, which is that some people end up doing it for the money. They do.
I have never, ever met anyone that's done it for the money. I have to say, and I'm doing this for 10 years in Massachusetts, at least in this state, the money's not there. You couldn't pay me. I'm not a foster parent with special ed needs kids because you couldn't pay me $50 a day to put my own kids at risk with a sexual offender kid. You couldn't do it. So if somebody's willing to take that risk, that's fine, but that's separate from the money. You couldn't pay me $3,000 a day to do it, to be honest with you, because I don't have that gift. But I think that's really negligible. And I do think, again, you're also looking at, in Massachusetts, to work with these children, you need to stay home full time. You're not allowed to have another job. You're not allowed to supplement your income. So considering that most families these days, we're not middle-class families, we don't have the luxury of having a one-income provider in the house, you're asking one person in the house to stay home full time. It really only seems fair to compensate them to manage the family as if they would have gone out to work.
Carol, thanks so much for your call and for adding
to
our discussion today. And I just want to remind our listeners that you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Mary Callahan, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, there's kind of a national push right now, which is why I wrote the op-ed, to make foster parenting pay better. And I think this state might be an example of what happens when you do make it pay better.
The state you're in, which is Maine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
And the kids I was taking were not sex offenders and kids I was afraid to have alone with my own kids. When I moved up to supposedly the more difficult kids, they didn't get more difficult. And just as one example, one of the first kids I got that was treatment level did do something pretty ornery in the first few months that he was with me. He was 9 years old, and the head of the foster care agency said to me, well, you know, he'll be treatment level till he's 18. You're golden. Which was interesting to think that a year later, if he had settled down just because he did that one thing, I would still be making the big money. And I think, you know, and I've met lots of people who do it for the money. And as I talk about it in my work environment, which is separate from foster care, everybody knows somebody who's taken foster kids for the money. So this state may be an example of what happens when you start paying too much. We have improved. This system in Maine is far better than it was 5 years ago. And foster parent pay has come in line. And they can't call a kid treatment level for the rest of his life over one incident. So, you know, we've learned from our mistakes. And, you know, I'm hoping other people will learn not to turn it into a business.
All right, let's go to Danny in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Danny.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Thanks so much for covering this topic. This is near and dear to my heart. I was a foster mother in the state I lived in previously. I'm currently going through the application process to be able to do that here. And I agree that cash should not be paid to foster parents, but the resources need to be made available to offset the costs of increased groceries, increased clothing, you know, and if you maybe implemented something like a gift card system targeted to grocery stores or clothing stores or something like that. And I, in fact, have a girlfriend now that believes the same thing, so when she gets her cash, she buys what she needs for that child with the cash and puts the remainder into an account that will set up for him to use after he turns 18, whether it's to go to college or vocational training or whatever.
Oh, right. That is so wonderful.
Thanks for your call, Danny.
Thank you.
And Danny called with an interesting idea. I wonder what you think about that, Mary Callahan, which is a kind of a gift card for clothes and food and stuff like that.
Well, I think it is a good idea to make sure the money is spent on the kids. The first child I got had been in a foster home for 6 years where they kept a separate cabinet of cheap food for the foster kids. And they took the clothing allotment, bought kids the foster kids' clothes, and then returned them for their own kids' clothes and got the foster kids' clothes at Goodwill. People that want to make a living out of it can find a way.
All right, let's
take
another call.
There's plenty of people out there that are better than that.
Okay, let's go to Waverly. She's calling from I believe she's calling from Minnesota. Waverly?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, go ahead.
I do appreciate this topic, and I appreciate the comments and understand the comments that foster parents can possibly be paid too much. I think it is very much state by state. Here in Minnesota, I think for the base level kid, you're getting maybe $16 a day. And I guess the comment I wanted to make and get some thoughts back on is that these children are extremely difficult to care for. We have taken in quite a few infants. We just do infants who are born horribly addicted to cocaine or heroin. And those children are 24/7. They're seizuring so bad that they're rocking their infant car seat. And, you know, we have taken the money to be able to hire babysitters to get some respite for ourselves. Maybe it's just an evening out. That these, this is a job that requires really Herculean efforts on the parts of foster parents, and we need to, I think, treat foster parents as professionals. But yes, we do need to, we need to pay them and expect them to behave as professionals.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Waverly. It's fascinating hearing all these people who have made a commitment, sometimes with very difficult cases and under difficult circumstances. But I want to get another call in right now. Enrique from Massachusetts is calling, and we want to hear his point of view. Enrique, are you there? Have I got Enrique on the line? I don't seem to have him there. Just if you could just respond for me, Mary, to that last caller. And we'll see if we can get Rika up
well,
in the meantime.
Well, I think newborns are difficult. And I do think that some compensation, you know, there's not a lot of groceries for newborns. But still, you know, I'm not saying no compensation. I think maybe case by case. But when you get it to the point where it's lucrative and people get into it because of that, then are those newborns even going to be treated well? You know, how do you know when you're not there all the time? You know, it sounds like she's made a great commitment, too. And other callers, I'm impressed, but that's who I'd like to see doing foster care.
Mary Callahan. Mary Callahan, thanks so much for joining us today. And I want to let Enrique know, because he was a foster kid and he wanted to comment, and we'd like to tell him, because I think he's listening. We weren't able to get him on, but if he can send us an email, we'll try and read that. And again, Mary Callahan, thanks for joining us. Mary wrote an op-ed in the Los Angeles Times called Mercenary Motherhood. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary.